Fredericks. Oh, that's so terrible. I'm being unfair.
Who cares?
Boy, oh boy.
Mike's back.
Oh, back.
For Mike, can you, Mike, can you quiet down?
Can't show a little less enthusiasm.
Ask a kind of a concern trolling question, which is Tom and the Beck show. How come all these, he's so beloved by the whole comedy community and all these people? Did they help him out? It seems like he has this huge base of all these very powerful kind of media people.
I heard on Mitch. Yeah, he was on Julie Klausner's show that I just started listening to. She's pretty, her podcast is pretty good. And he mentioned Tom, or she mentioned Tom, and he knew who Tom was and stuff. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, Tom knows a lot of people, and, you know, he was using some of those connections possibly for the, you know, the next thing. He didn't feel like he was going to have complete control. And
Right. That's
sort of what it came down to, you know? I mean, he was talking with the Earwolf people to be like the East Coast Wolf.
Right.
It didn't work out because he wasn't going to have total control. And
right.
So.
They got him for.
I sort of wondered about that. I mean, you know, all during the show, you know, I didn't understand as the show kept growing. You know, it's still, I found it remarkable that he never even got, like, offers from different things to do stuff. That to me was always amazing because, you know, I'm sure, you know, Tom's bigger than, like, half the shows on NPR, right? I mean...
Yeah, I would imagine.
I don't know how big those shows are, but I think Tom's built up quite a following that, you know, that they would be interested or even Sirius. You know, there's some of the FMU DJs that have, like, regular gigs on Sirius Radio.
They do?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Right, well, and I don't think Tom, I won't say I don't think, I know for a fact that he would not, and they probably give him a playlist of what songs, or at least are after. Tom wouldn't buy any of that.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, and he talked to NPR, and yeah, it didn't give him the freedom that he had at FMU, so it didn't appeal to him.
Yeah, NPR wouldn't be the right spot, regardless, you know.
Like, not right after Prairie Home Companion?
No, yeah. Like, they'd have you, you'd be reading the Alpo ads on that.
My great radio voice.
No, I, you know, it's tough, you know, to keep an artistic vision when you need, you know, financial support, and then as soon as somebody gives you money, they're going to want to tell you how you should be doing it or what they think you should be doing. I mean, once in a while, you'll get creative people that'll just let you go and do what you want, but...
Well, that's part of the reason, you know. I mean, Tom did try to pitch different television things, and I think that's one of the things what he doesn't like about the television. He saw, you know, how you don't really have full control. And every once in a while, you know, they crack down on something or want to change something, and, you know, it would be stupid. You know, they make some stupid request. But they'd have to do it just for, you know, the powers about who has say over what goes on. And I don't think he liked that whole situation. That's why I think he does realize, like, radio is what he's the best at, you know. Even though I'm sure he's going to pursue other things and, you know, if the right... you know, opportunities come up, videos or commercials and stuff like that. I don't know whatever happened. He told me he did a Barnes & Noble commercial, and I don't know if that ever happened, you know? I guess some commercials never see the light of day. I mean, he got paid, I'm sure, you know?
Yeah, exactly. At that point, who cares, but, yeah.
Anyway.
Mike, so I came across a little interesting bit of, like, semi if you can really stretch its best show related, or let's call it like 6 degrees of Terrence Malick relating to the best show.
Wow.
It, yeah, what's the guy? Tony Shalhoub, right?
Yes. He played Monk.
Yeah, Mike, do you know who his wife is?
What was that?
Do you know who Tony Shalhoub's wife is?
No.
The lead actress in the Malick movie with Days of Heaven.
Oh. Oh, really?
Yeah, whatever her name is.
Yeah, I know. The dark hair, right? Brooke something or other, maybe? I don't know. I know who you're talking about.
Okay. So there's two steps. Go ahead.
Have they been married a long time?
I have no idea.
Because, I mean, I guess she was more famous. I mean, Tony Shalhoub, well, when did he... Well, I guess he had... What was that, Wings? Is that when he first sort of got popular?
I hear that. He's got answers.
But, I didn't know they were married, no.
Yeah, Brooke Adams, her name is.
Adams, yeah.
What else?
I don't even know what happened. I mean, you know, that's the weird thing about actresses. Like, their career seems to be very short-lived, you know?
Yeah,
well,
really
not
short-lived.
Allowed to mature.
Yeah.
Speaking of Terrence Malick actresses, I'm just reading now that Jessica Chastain was offered the lead role in season 2 of True Detective.
Oh, okay.
Thought I'd just throw that in there.
So there's going to be a woman detective?
Yeah, they want two women leads, female leads next
season. All right. Well, that's different.
Who's the actress? I don't know her name.
Jessica Chastain was in Zero Dark Thirty. She's a natural redhead.
Yeah.
She was in Tree of Life.
Oh, Tree of Life. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, I know who she is. She's Foxy, yeah.
A natural redhead.
Yeah, I almost asked how are you sure.
Yeah, we won't say.
Sorry for my typing, guys. You remember Brett Davis?
Yeah! MC Steinberg.
MC Steinberg and his various guys.
Yeah,
I guess he's in a call screener for the Dave Hill Show.
Oh, okay.
So interesting. That,
you know, I guess they'll probably get some airtime on there as well.
Well, that's good.
How long did it take before you got airtime, Mike?
Oh, literally, I think it was like a couple of years.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I was on the first, you know, when it started, you know, he brought me in and we chatted.
I don't think I was really on for like a couple of years.
The breakthrough was when I gave him Strokesec to check out.
Mike, I'm going through that whole period now of like you... Yeah, you were incredible. In your silence for the first.
What would you do? I mean, it was a great show.
You did.
You know, I didn't. And the reason the other guy got kind of canned was because he was imposing on the show, you know?
Yeah, now I've heard that stuff too. And I mean, it got really apparent. Matt, that guy's name is, right?
Yeah.
Like, Tom would be in full flight doing, like, one of his, like, kind of, like, ranty type things. And all of a sudden, he'd be like, now, hold up, what? And that Matt dude would just kind of, like, it'd be apparent. He's, like, sitting, I don't know the exact logistics of the room at the time, but he'd be, like, sitting, like, waiting to get on the mic. And Tom would kind of politely be like, go ahead. And then, and the guy wasn't particularly funny either. I found him a little irritating. But
no, Tom told me towards, you know, he would just literally just go in the studio and sit in there. You know, which I would never think of doing, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what he was doing, and that's kind of why he had to get rid of him, you know? He was too much of a distraction. But, no, I didn't have an agenda or anything when I went on there. I mean, I was just happy to be a part of the show. I was burning music like a fiend. You know, I was like a kid in a candy store. So, I mean, I was a little bit a part of the show without, like, being on the air and... you know, I had access to the FMU library. I mean, you know, I was happy, you know, not being on the air, you know. And then, yeah, it just sort of came about naturally. And
yeah, the one that he, I just heard one, like, where he kind of drew you out a little bit. And there was, like, one where it's like, it seems like I'm on the cusp of the Strosig thing now, because he's talking about a DVD you loaned him or lent him that was the, what is the one that's, like, the band and the dead on the crane? Festival Express, right?
Oh, yeah. I gave him that, yeah.
Yeah, and he talked to you, like, a little bit, but mostly you were behind the glass. Well, once or twice so far in the section I'm listening to, you've actually, he's called you in to talk about something. I can't remember what it would have been about, but, yeah, it was, it's really nice, like, watching the development of you kind of, like, come into the show, because you are so, like, you know, you're doing exactly what I think anybody would do who wouldn't want
to. I had to get to know him. I mean, you know, the thing is, you know, when I went there, I didn't really know Tom. I mean, you know, we were strangers. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, the more you get to know somebody, the more you'll develop a rapport with them. So
I thought of the one thing. I'm sorry, what's that?
It didn't make any sense to, like, become on the air when we, you know, we were just getting to know each other, you know?
Yeah. So. He brought you in one time, like, into the actual studio, onto the mic one time, when that Spike, immersion of Spike is pretty amazing, too. Like, that, what Tom did with that dude was astounding, to listen to that unfold. But when he kind of, like, Spike would call up and just kind of almost, like, prank the show, and then Tom sort of drew him out one time. And conversations got to be, like, 20 minutes long or something.
To pat myself on the back, I was pivotal in that. I mean, if you listen to those early Spike calls, he wouldn't even interact with Tom. He would just come on, say his dumb thing, and that's it, you know? And then when I started taking the calls, I started trying to talk to him, and, I mean, I actually asked his name, and that's, you know, finally he gave a name, Spike, and all that. I think I was quite instrumental in, you know, drawing him out a little bit, you know, so he wasn't just doing the stupid prank calls, you know? There's a lot of those. I mean, you know.
What's that?
Prank calls.
What?
Prank calls.
Yeah. And then I think Tom brought you in to kind of ask you, like, what Spike, that seemed to be one of on the phone, like, seemed to be one of the earliest times he called you in to get your take on things and how Spike behaves on the phone. I have a question, as long as you're talking. I prepared for the question I want to ask you. Uh-huh. What went on, I'll find it. There was a show that, what was the dude's name? I think you told me, I think his name's Andrew Earls.
Andrew Earl, yeah.
Earl, yeah. There was, like, a really weird show that seems to mark the end of his involvement with it. Uh-huh. And, like, he called in to play, like, as a character piece. And, like, it almost seemed like it went off script or something. Like,
well, the difference between Andrew's calls and John's calls is that they weren't scripted. You know?
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, John and Tom's calls are all scripted, but Andrew, it was improvised, you know? I mean, I think maybe he'd tell Tom, give Tom an idea of what he wanted to do, and then, you know, he kind of would just do his thing. Did you ever track down, you know, him and another guy put out a prank calls CDs?
Yep.
Was he on Matador?
Yeah, I'm Matador, yeah.
A friend of mine told me about that when that happened.
What's it called?
Jensen.
Earls and Jensen, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Track those down. I mean, there's some funny stuff on there. Yeah, I think I mentioned before, you know.
Were the Jerky Boys big at that time?
No, they weren't. That's another thing. It was like, they had passed already.
Sorry, Mike.
No, what I was going to say was that I think part of the, you know, Andrew Earls sort of phasing out of the show was that I think he kind of had a couple sort of calls that sort of floundered a bit. I don't know. I always liked Andrew's calls. I mean, I thought
he had
some really good characters. You know, the private eye living on his boat. And,
Skag Winesack.
And the
dude who would call up and say it's casual. That he might be one of my favorite characters on the show, including some of John's. You know, like that guy was...
Party Doctor, right? Wasn't that him, too?
Party Doctor, yeah.
He had some great characters, so...
Yeah, because, like, this one, it just seemed like the one that I was listening to, it's like Tom wrote as his description thing, it's like, no archive. Why? Because it was a horrible show. Tom is going away to recharge his batteries, maybe a week, maybe more. While he's gone, think about doing your part. It wouldn't hurt you've called once rather than just chatting away in the chat. So, like, it was the beginning of Tom's sort of sour attitude emerged, like, midway through the call with Andrew. And it was like, then the next week he starts the show by playing Clown Time is Over. And then when he's back announcing it, being like, I think you know who that's aimed at. And I was just sort of like, what? Like it seemed more personal. The other thing that was going on in that show was like these kids kept like, they were really getting the best of them though. Like they were, like these kids were called the Goshen crew. Do you remember that?
I mean, sometimes Tom would get down when the callers were no good.
Yeah, you know? Those kids were—they were like really—they were doing a great job of trolling. Like it was impressive because they seemed like they really got under their skin. And there were one or two of them that pranked, and like he didn't catch that it was a prank at first. And you know what I mean? So it must have been really frustrating for him that every call was.
What era is this, PC?
Summer of 2006.
Oh, all right.
PC, did you listen to the show from the beginning?
Did I?
Like, yeah, did you start with the first episode and like...
No, I'm doing that now. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're in the process.
Yes, yeah.
But you've been through, what, five years?
Yeah. I used to listen to them backwards. I'm listening to the archive. I don't know why. It doesn't make much sense. And so I got to like.
You don't have to be linear. Relax.
Oh right. Yeah. I got through like yeah. I would go backwards, and I got to, like, I went through a lot. Like, backwards, I went through, like, to when I discovered the show, I guess. I only found out about the show a couple of years ago. Whenever the Marin had Tom on as a guest was the first thing where I was like, this shit sounds awesome. You know, like, I kind of got into it right after that. Or shortly after that. It took me a couple of tries. I was very puzzled by it at first, but I could kind of tell it was good, you know? And then, so it was like...
Because I'm trying to start from the very beginning, but the Yankees versus Mets calls at the beginning, killing me.
And that you find them unlistenable?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what's weird? Here, you know what? Do you have the bootleg thing where you could put the MP3 on? Or are you listening to them on the FMU site?
No, I downloaded them all, you know, from when they were going around en masse to download.
Okay.
I think in the early shows, I mean, Tom was still trying to, you know, get it down. So. What? You know, there's a different energy going on, like in the early shows.
Yeah.
And there is one very early on where it's like the show seems like it's a complete different animal at first. Or not a complete different animal, but there is one very early on where it was like, as somebody who would listen to, you know, I don't know, 100 plus, more than that, I guess, and then went back to like the very beginning. Like, there was one where, like, maybe, like, 6 in, 10 in, somewhere like that, where it was just like, holy shit, he did a best show. That was insane. Like, there was one that where, like, he did,
all
like...
All of a sudden, you realize when it emerged?
Yeah, and then it didn't stay, you know? It didn't stay or anything. Like,
where it was going to go.
Yes, exactly. Like, he just did one perfect show very early on, and that was very encouraging to get me. But, yeah, I mean, that... That the the Yankees versus Mets one. That one isn't the first one. That's just the first one on the archive.
But, oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, I'll send you this thing. I have it here, and you'll be able.
Oh, what a nice guy.
It's going to come up here, and it's like you could just download them all individually and have all the missing episodes, too. Some saint put this together.
Early shows have more music, you know, they're shorter.
Yeah.
They're only 2 hours, so, it's different, you know.
Well, and I told Mike that I don't think that if when they were doing the factory rap douche thing, I think if I started listening at that time, I don't think I would have liked it that much.
Oh, I agree with you. That just that whole wordage I found kind of offensive. Like, not offensive, but...
Right, but it reminds me of the stuff that I was turning off on commercial radio, you know, because you had the shock jocks and, you know...
Right.
And,
right.
And I don't know about you guys up there, but down here we have people like and Ron and Cow Ron, and I mean... That they sort of did like a less cool version of what X-Ray and Jonesy do together. You know, where they talk for like 15, 20 minutes. They play less music. They play like 10, 15 minutes of music.
Just admit it, you don't like the word douche. Douche. Douche.
That's part of it.
Douche.
That's part of it for me.
But it also was like, yeah.
I mean, there was a couple of things that have gone on in the show that I, like you said, like, had I just come in that day or had I just come in that era, I don't know that it would have spoke to me. That was one of the things that sticks out to me, where it was, like, almost a little too...
I think Tom did get told to kind of tone that down. I think Ken did intercede about that, or
right,
yeah.
They were getting nervous, and so they told him to.
I wonder if that is a thing, though, because I definitely, when I started listening, someone told me to listen to the show. I listened, and I just ran in the other direction. And then something brought me back, and it took like a couple tries, and then I was hooked.
Yeah.
Same here.
I think that I read something that, like, when the show was going off, I read something that Jason from Alabama wrote where he said, like, you got to give it 9 hours. And I thought that was sort of well put. Like, you just have to get into the rhythm. The rhythm. The rhythm. Figure out who this AP Mike guy is and stuff like that, you know, like, because it particularly when I came in so late that it was like I'm coming in with something that had been on the air for 11 years. I was like, what the hell is going on here, you know?
Right.
Another thing that I really didn't like about it, that puzzled me, and it was like kind of like took a little bit to, was the long parts of what with Officer Tom, where he would do something that was like something that I thought like kind of like one thing I really like about the best show is that it like isn't. It's not like real bro-y, you know. It's like it never has a joke at the expense of like women or gay men, you know.
It's
like
crucial.
There's something so nice about that. And when
let's not kid ourselves. It's a bro show. I mean, you know, it is predominantly male listeners.
Oh no, it is. But it's,
I mean, I'm glad that there are women listening to it, you know.
Sure.
But I mean,
that's not the same as bro.
The numbers are got to be like maybe 90% to 10%, 80% to 20%.
Oh no, I think
I'd say Mike might be close. Yeah.
I think women are less inclined to call radio shows. I bet it's closer to 30% to 40%.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know, but no, but Mike, there's a difference between being like having like a male listenership and being bro-y, you know, like kind of.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I agree, but you know, for whatever reason, you know, and I think Tom would lament it every once in a while that, you know, when he'd have a show and every caller's a guy, you know.
Oh,
on the MNF call-in show. The host, you know, asks for a female's perspective all the time.
Yeah.
I think that men are more inclined to step up and speak their mind, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but I don't know. It just seemed... like when we'd have the get-togethers and stuff, you know, it was predominantly guys, and you know, there would be women there, and I was glad there were, you know, there were women listeners, but it just seemed somewhat skewed, the numbers, you know.
Well, Mike, like, what all I'm saying about that, I don't doubt that, I'm not disagreeing with you. All I'm saying is that it's not because Tom or the show's sense of humor excluded.
Right. No, I agree. Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah,
just not Howard Stern, you know.
Because that's something I find very. And the other one is the only other show like that I listen to that's. I don't know if anybody else listens. There's a podcast called Stop Podcasting Yourself, and like they're the same way. Like they don't. They have a lot of women guests to the point where it's like you forget that it's not that it's strange to have women on constantly. You know, it that's sort of like a nice thing that they do. It's like they let they let everybody say their piece, but it's great. But when Officer Tom used to come on, he'd call his wife the Dark Overlord and shit, and he'd call his daughter the Underling. Like, that really rubbed me the wrong way. It was like, dude, that's your wife you're talking about. Like, be a little more respect. Like, his sense of humor was whatever. No, I just don't like Officer Tom as a character on the show, but, like, when sometimes he would just be, like, a little bit misogynistic, and he would be very homophobic, and so like Frederick said, like, if I came on, and it went at a period where it was just week after week of checking in with Officer Tom, I'd probably be like, why are they having this douche?
Actually, I used to get into debates with him on the board. I used to, like, kind of bust his balls quite a bit, actually.
Well,
he's not a bad guy. I mean, you know.
I'm sure he's a nice guy. Yeah.
I know what you're saying, but yeah, he can rub people the wrong way.
I'm just saying it kind of flew in the face of the tone of the show, you know, to be calling, he'd always call Purple Shirt a retard and stuff like that, and it's like, that's just some loaded language that's not present elsewhere on the show, you know, and it's nice that show isn't,
No. See, if I had come in at that, I probably wouldn't be here right now, I can tell you that, because I would say, oh man, Yeah, and that's exactly it. I mean, and then what's next? They gonna slaughter a pig live on the air?
I listened to your hero, that clip you sent me, Frederick. No, I still don't like that guy.
And who's that?
Here's why.
Wait, you gotta tell him what happened.
Frederick sent me a link to Lionel. Has anybody else ever heard him?
You're so prejudiced.
What do you mean? How's that prejudiced? I mean, you know,
well,
I just...
That's sort of like the Officer Tom period of the Best Show. That's where you came in, was like during a...
When he was going for the right-wing crowd?
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think he's very calculating in his views. Like in that clip you sent me.
Go ahead, yeah.
In the clip you sent me, at one point, he proudly declares, I hate politics, you know,
I'm a political atheist.
Yeah.
I don't believe in either party. I thought that was brilliant.
But how's it brilliant? I mean, you got to work within the system. So you just, like, opt out, and then you just get all the disgruntled people, you know, you're like this populist guy, you know. But, that doesn't go anywhere, you know. I mean, that's kind of like... Yeah, he's a rabble-rouser. He's not with either party. And so, like, but what's, you know, he doesn't really have anything to say then. You know, most of these guys that do these shows, they take one side or the other, and they just, you know, they say exactly what you think they're going to say. But he splits it right down the middle. And he's just, like, saying, oh, you know, I'm something different. But he's, you know, that's sort of like the cowardly way out, you know?
Again, Mike, I don't, that's buying into the dichotomy that we're sold, the Hegelian dialectic, that there's a left and a right, a black and a white.
Yeah, that's what they kept saying.